You round the corner and the fucking your child's standing over a couple of corpses, like, well, probably can't do this anymore. Yeet. Just into the fucking labyrinth.
It's true. Welcome all mortals, monsters, and myth lovers alike. You're listening to Podcast of Poseidon, where we explore ancient myths and their modern retellings by reading Rick Riordan's Percy Jackson and the Olympians. This is Chapter 3, The Minotaur. I'm your co-host, on loan from the Hunters of Artemis, Darian Smart. Joining me is my co-host and brother, hailing from Cabin 9, DJ.
How's everybody doing today? Cabin 9 is Hephaestus, and it's a wonder that I'm his son with this gorgeous face of mine, which you guys can't see. But I like to say I have a face for radio and a voice for print.
What the hell? Okay. Today we're talking about the Minotaur.
I'm very excited about the Minotaur. I just like it. I like the aesthetic. I like the look. I just like hearing about it. I'm very excited about this.
Ooh, well, that's awesome because I actually have notes regarding the aesthetic of the Minotaur and how that has evolved over the year. So this is going to be fun.
I also have something to say because while I was like doing Seder, so we'll talk about that later. Because there was a weird mishmash that came across. I'm like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, anyway. Perfect. All right. Well, then let's, let's just jump right in and talk. So the Legend of the Minotaur is a story where everybody gets punished except the dude who actually pissed off the gods.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
So it's a whole rigmarole of incidents and nonsense that actually leads to the Minotaur, but here's the condensed version that I have again pulled from my girl Edith Hamilton's mythology. Basically, the king of Crete died and all of his son wanted to be king. His adopted son, Minos, who was a child of Zeus, prayed to Poseidon to help him become king, and Poseidon's like, yeah, man. So he sends Minos a beautiful white bull that just comes right out of the sea. And people see this and it's like, oh, that guy has the support of Poseidon. He should be king. Cool. Now Minos is king. The thing is, he was supposed to sacrifice the bull to Poseidon, but he decided to keep it instead.
So did he keep it? Fuck it.
Well, not quite. I actually have this other great book that my friend Skylar let me borrow. It's called Zeus Grants Stupid Wishes, A No Bullshit Guide to World Mythology by Corey O'Brien. Nice. And this gentleman has rewritten myths in just the most irreverent way. And I would like to quote how he describes why Minos decided to keep the bull, because it's actually great. I don't think you guys understand what hot shit bulls wore in ancient Greece. Well, you have to remember, Minos didn't have the internet, so bulls are like the height of technology. And this was like the Apple iPad of bulls. So he decides, how about I don't kill this bull? What's the worst that can happen? I'm already king, right? Wrong.
This dude's gonna fucking go against Poseidon's will about this shit.
Yeah, right? Oh, cool. No, it's fine, because Minos actually gets off super scot-free in this myth, and I'm pissed. So Minos decides, I'm not gonna sacrifice the bull. Poseidon didn't care for this, so he asked Aphrodite for a favor. And when Aphrodite goes, she goes hard. She curses Minos' wife, Queen Pasiphae, to fall in love with the white bull. But again, as mentioned before, this was like a really beautiful, just a really, really great bull. So Pasiphae decides she's got to show her love for the bull the only way she knows how, by getting the kingdom's craftsman, Daedalus, to build her a giant bull costume so she can go fuck that bull.
Fuck that bull. Fuck that bull. Fuck that bull. Anyway.
Which is exactly what they... Yeah, Daedalus, at this point, we will certainly talk about him more in Battle of the Labyrinth, but I think we can all agree that he's just a mad scientist. Basically, because
the dude just like it's like, oh, you want this done? Fucking, I'm into it.
Let's see. I just want to see if it works. Let's go. So,
Daedalus is like peak fuck around and find.
He is. Very fun to talk about him eventually, but right now we're going to talk about the Minotaur. So Daedalus wins cosplayer of the year because the bull costume totally works. Pasiphae goes to the field where the beautiful white bull is chilling, and he's like, And 9 months later, the queen gives birth to a bouncing baby boy who has a bull's head for a head. DJ, did you know that in some of the myths, the Minotaur actually has a name that's not Minotaur?
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. A lot of monsters just have names.
They do. So Pasiphae actually named her son Asterion after Minos' stepfather, the king of Crete who dies at the beginning of our story and everything goes into chaos because of it. Mm-hmm. But most people called the child Minotaur, which translates into Minos' bull.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
So Minos decides this is not going to fly. So he again goes to Daedalus and is like, hey, you know that like labyrinth thing? Do that. So Daedalus builds a labyrinth so they can put the Minotaur in the labyrinth so nobody ever has to know about this monster or about what Minos' wife did.
There's a comic about that. You've probably seen it, and so has a lot of our viewers.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, anytime King Minos would like think of something, Daedalus would just be like, sir, you want me to build you a labyrinth for it? How about a labyrinth? A labyrinth? And then Minos is like, what the fuck is with you and all these labyrinths? You're never going to build a labyrinth. No. And then, like, a king's guard comes running in. Sir, the queen has given birth to a monster. And then, like, Daedalus just, like, and he fucking smiles.
That whole series is irreverent nonsense. And I do love it, but also could not recommend it to a single person I know. I will put a link to that comic specifically in the show notes. So anybody who wants to check it out, if you haven't already seen it, there it is.
I didn't even know it was a series. I've just seen
the comic. It is a whole series. Which
I didn't know that. I want to read it.
Dude. It's funny, but like, holy shit sometimes.
Oh, I believe it.
Around this same time, Minos' son goes to Athens and dies for reasons that we're not going to get into here because this is the Minotaur story. But as the result of his son dying, Minos goes to Athens and is like, listen, I'm going to murder everybody here. Unless you send me a tribute of 7 maidens and 7 young men every 9 years. Because apparently 7 years, just 7-7 was too much. So 9 years. And for some reason, the Athenians were like, yes, this is our only option. Maybe the oracle told them that they had to do this. I don't know. But
I feel like the oracle probably like, it was like, oracle, what's good? What do we do? And the oracle's just like fucking smoking a fat doobie and just being like, you gotta follow the Minotaur's orders until one guy comes along. I won't tell you his name, I won't tell you when it happens, but you'll know.
So yeah, basically, which that's exactly what happens. Because Minos just so happened to have recently set up this fancy labyrinth with a man-eating monster inside, he decides that's where he's gonna send the tributes, where they are all devoured by the Minotaur. Now, DJ, do bulls eat meat?
No,
they're herbivores.
As far as I'm aware.
They're herbivores, but the Minotaur is a noted man-eater.
Yeah.
So fun.
I mean, monsters, you know?
Monsters, like, yeah. After 27 years of this, and the third round of tributes, Theseus, who's the son of the Athenian king, volunteers to be a tribute. And we'll definitely get more into Theseus' story when we discuss the labyrinth at a later point in time. But basically, smash it to the end, Theseus is able to successfully kill the Minotaur with his bare hands. Because he's just that good.
Nice. Fuck yeah, Theseus. Let's go.
Fuck yeah, Theseus. Except, here's to recap. Minos angers Poseidon, and his wife, Pasiphae, gets punished. Pasiphae gives birth to a Minotaur, and the Minotaur baby is thrown into the labyrinth. Minos starts killing Athenian youths, and Theseus kills the Minotaur. Minos gets off scot-free for all of this bullshit he has committed. The Minotaur is the victim here.
No, yeah.
I mean, sure, he's violent and he ate people, but he was also clearly not socialized well as a kid and left to starve in a labyrinth, so.
Yeah, we've seen horrible things like that happen in Greek mythology, but it's like, come on.
Yeah. So that sucks. Now, on a lighter note, I want to talk about the Minotaur's tidy whities.
That's right.
That we spent a bit of time on.
Tidy whities. What the fuck was that about? Did Rick Riordan ever answer to that?
You know what? I'm pretty sure the answer is, well, the Minotaur wasn't wearing fucking anything originally.
Yeah, I mean, the Minotaur's mighty bullcock was just fucking swinging around as he was eating people.
Probably. Except it probably wasn't a bull's penis. It was probably just a dude's penis. Because, DJ, did you know that the aesthetic elements of the Minotaur, most of which of those that we are really familiar with is, like, the look of the Minotaur, came in later retellings?
Oh, I believe it.
Minotaurs tend to have more bestial features when we see them in, like, modern storytelling. Specifically, they typically have, like
just the body of a dude, but then, like, everything, like, waist down, they got bulls and neck up.
Yeah, they've got the bull's hind legs. But the OG Minotaur wasn't like that. The ancient Greek artists would depict the Minotaur as having the head of the bull and sometimes a tail, but otherwise just a human body, just like a dude's body. Let me show you this picture that I've got. I'll do screen share on real quick so you can see it. This is the depiction of the Minotaur that we usually see from Greek artists.
Yeah, that's just some dude's legs.
Yeah, just a guy.
It's just a guy with a bull head and a tail, but like, you know.
Yeah, and very clearly, is that a penis or an udder? I don't know. Don't want to know. Very glad Rick Riordan decided we're just going to cover those.
It looks like he's got like some nasty fucking beer belly. I'm not going to lie.
Whatever it is, I'm very glad Riordan was like, we're just going to cover it all up with some Fruit of the Looms.
Yeah.
Because you know, kids would have asked about it. They've been like, was the Minotaur wearing pants? Because he was a middle school teacher, so he knows what kids are like.
Yeah.
So that was what I just showed DJ, was Theseus Killing the Minotaur, a detailed vase painting by Cleophrates, the painter of the 6th century BCE, which is located in the British Museum of London. We will share that to our Instagram for anybody that doesn't want to have to Google all that to find it. And of course, making the Minotaur look cooler isn't the only way we've changed up the Minotaur in modern storytellings. Quick spoiler alert, minor spoiler alert. For Gravity Falls, Adventure Time, My Little Pony, Doctor Who, Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon, Disney's Gargoyles, and the Wonder Woman comics.
Yeah. Oh, man, I haven't even watched Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon in so long. I forgot there was a Minotaur in it.
Apparently, there's quite a few Minotaurs. They're like...
Oh, yeah, like, I think he was getting his ass beat by one at the fucking start of the series.
Yeah, that's...
Like, it was a group of Minotaurs just kicking his ass, and then fucking a girl comes to save him, and then he falls in love with the girl.
Dang.
And then that's the start of the fucking anime.
Yeah, if Talia was alive, that's how she and Percy would have met. He would have been running from the Minotaur, and she would have been like, I got you, if she wasn't a pine tree.
Much.
Yeah, that's actually something interesting that we see in modern retellings, is that even though there was only one capital M Minotaur in Greek mythology... when we put the Minotaur in modern stories, it's very common for it to be just a race of Minotaur creatures. Like in Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? They're just a race of high-level monsters.
I love the fact that it's like high-level monsters when they're like a level 7.
Okay.
And he's just a level 1 getting his ass handed to him.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. I think that's how it was. I could be wrong, though. I haven't watched it in a hot minute. And then the fucking Minotaur of the fucking Gravity Falls series.
Yes, the Minotaur. You're jumping ahead, DJ, and I love it. But a number of video games also feature Minotaur monsters as enemies and bosses. DJ, you do way more gaming than me. So have you encountered Minotaurs as just general horde monsters or just reoccurring things in mythic games?
Shockingly, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I can't even think like off the top of my head. I think like some of the closest stuff I would probably pin is Dooms and Doom Eternals. Like they got an enemy that's pretty much a Minotaur waist down. They got goat legs and they got horns. Pretty much looks like Satan nowadays. But that's bull stuff that they have, uh-huh. Satyr stuff. And while I was doing research on satyrs, which is what I was going to bring up,
mm-hmm.
Apparently in Mortal Kombat Armageddon, there's a race of centaurs that got cursed to look like Minotaurs.
Oh my god!
I don't even know what their crime was for that to happen.
That's a big
but
one.
Then, like this was it, but like the thing is, like this was in list of satyrs in pop culture. I'm like, why are they here? And it's like they look like satyrs. I'm like, that's not a satyr though. That's a fucking Minotaur.
Oh, internet listicles.
Like, they say it's a Minotaur. It doesn't matter if they look like satyrs or not.
Somebody had a list count they had to meet, and they had to stretch that.
There's a few of them that they like, oh, they're not really satyrs, but they look like satyrs. And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Our bonus episode next week is going to be on satyrs, specifically which pop culture satyrs could have gotten Percy to Camp Half-Blood, which will be a lot of fun. We're going to record that pretty soon. So if you're a Patreon supporter, you'll be able to listen to it.
Yeah, very excited about it. It'll be a lot of fun. Join us on Patreon.
Yeah. In the Wonder Woman comics, Diana often runs into Minotaurs, sometimes just as general Minotaurs, or sometimes as, oh, it's the Minotaur. Which makes sense considering the origins of Wonder Woman and her character, or the Greek origins of Wonder Woman and her character. One specific Minotaur character that I really liked is named Ferdinand, who is Diana's personal chef at the Themysciran embassy. I like this one because Ferdinand prefers to be called Kaifotar, since he's from Kytheria and not Minoa,
nice.
Which I respect. So DJ, you already mentioned the Manotaurs in Gravity Falls.
Love them. They're which fucking great.
Are, yeah, do you want to tell? I'm sure the audience probably has watched Gravity Falls, and if you haven't, you should. Is it on Disney Plus? Maybe. I haven't checked. Hopefully.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
As far as I'm aware. At least it was last I checked, but that was also a few months ago.
Yeah, so DJ, tell us about the Manitars.
I feel like the Manitars were just like what people would consider nowadays is just like masculinity and possibly even toxic masculinity. You know, just like, manly man, only do man stuff. Don't listen to pop hits by BABA. And they're just fun. I mean, like, Dipper goes on an incredible life journey with these guys fucking doing different things. Like, breaking shit over with his head and fucking just, like, it's just dumb. And then, like, just eventually, like, man, you guys are just dicks. And then he leaves.
Yeah, DJ, you are spot on. Actually, there's a lot of instances in Western myth. There's a lot
Western culture.
There's a lot of instances in Western animation where Minotaurs are stand-in for manliness and, as you said, often toxic masculinity. Like the Gravity Falls Minotaurs, you know, they teach Dipper to be like manly and bold, but they're also dicks and they want to kill the multi-bear just because they like Icelandic pop music.
Yeah.
Yeah, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic also does this thing with Iron Will, who teaches assertiveness seminars. But he just kind of turns Fluttershy into an aggressive asshole.
Yeah.
Also, Iron Will is fucking terrifying to look at because in My Little Pony, everybody is like on like their four little legs and he's just bipedal. He's not a bull. Yeah. He's clearly a minotaur. Why?
Oh, man. It's just fucking weird. Everything about it.
Mm-hmm. Adventure Time from Cartoon Network also does the very manly minotaur with Manish Man, the guardian of the Enchiridion. Or Enchiridion. Yeah?
Yes.
He is incredibly buff, but unlike Iron Will or the Manitars, he's actually really friendly and is totally down to help Finn and Jake get to the Enchiridion when they just ask.
Yeah, like he's just like, he just guides the heroes and just like, hey man, I'm here to like just help you heroes. Like, if you want to be a hero, let's fucking go. I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. I fucking love Adventure Time.
It's good.
And Adventure that Minotaur Time. Is just, he's a recurring character, but very rarely, you know?
Yeah, I think he's like great. Mentioned. So but yeah, I think that's really cool because it's like, yeah, he is buff and he's like, oh, I'm super manly, but he's like not a dick. And it shows that like, you can be buff and strong and a hero and not be an asshole. Like, these are elements that do not need to be intrinsically connected to each other.
I totally forgot that I actually do play a game nowadays with the Minotaur in it.
Tell me, yeah.
And it's like, it's not just a Minotaur, it's the Minotaur, because it's a game called Hades, which I was originally going to bring up because of the Furies are in it, and they're very prominent in it, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh man, I know I've played games with Minotaurs, and so I searched what the fuck the Minotaur has been in that I've played.
Uh-huh.
And it's a game called Hades, which is just a roguelike where you play as the son of Hades trying to get out of the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Zagreus, and he's a really cool character. But once you get to Elysium, shockingly, the Minotaur's there. And you're like, what? Why is the Minotaur there? And you fight him one-on-one as a mini-boss, and then you go to the main boss, and he's fighting alongside the guy who killed him, Theseus.
Wow, okay.
And it's the weirdest fucking thing. And you're like, oh, well, I mean, all right, I guess. And so you just fight them. And then, yeah, I mean, like, it's a lot of fun. The Minotaur is super cool and just, like, yeah, his name is Asterius in the game, too. And, like, Zagreus calls him Asterius. So the guys who made the game did, like, a lot of research for it, too, and I think it's great.
That's really cool. My roommate Lucy actually just started playing Hades on the Switch this week. She's just...
Yeah, it just came out 1.0 update, so...
Oh, it looks really fun. The art is very pretty.
It's so much fun. I know, like, and I've been playing the game for about 6 or 7 months now,
mm-hmm.
and I have yet to come across the same line twice.
Oh.
Like, it's a really in-depth game, and there's just so much going on for it, and I fucking love it. It's just a lot of fun.
That's cool. So what do you think of the version of the Minotaur that appears in Hades?
I think he's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to be like a bloodthirsty dude. He just kind of, he's like, shows up. He's like, I'm going to fight you. And then you get him to like a quarter health. And he's like, all right, you're worthy enough to pass. I will see you later. And then like, he's just fighting alongside Theseus. And they're both, they just seem kind of like bros. Theseus is kind of a show off in the game
mm-hmm.
because you fight them in like a gladiator ring.
And so he's like just a total showboat, and the Minotaur is just like a very humble fucking warrior pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it's just really funny, like the contrast and the fact that Minotaur is fighting alongside the guy who killed him, which is weird. I mean,
yeah, does it explain how that worked out?
No.
Okay.
Thinking about it, I'm thinking maybe it's like a whole power thing with Theseus because the guy seems like a dick, but I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
And then apparently he also appears in Odyssey, which I haven't found him yet.
I would be so confused if the Minotaur did not appear in Odyssey.
It's Assassin's Creed Odyssey, yeah, for those who don't know. But yeah, like, I need to get back into that game so I can finish it.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of content you could bring to the table.
Atlantis, and then I, like, stopped playing, and I'm like, I need to get back into this, because it's just so much fun. Game is an incredible game, and I highly recommend it to everyone, and I'm very excited for Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, yeah, that one looks cool as hell. But we will talk about Norse stuff in the distant future.
Distant future, probably in like a couple years. I don't know how long this will take.
We'll find out. But currently, we are talking about the Minotaur, who, honestly, I notice, and it's weird, because you find a lot of things with, like, the Minotaur or a Minotaur or Minotaurs in it. Like, there's even, like, in Disney's Gargoyles, there's, like, the descendants are a descendant of the Minotaur. Makes an appearance, and it's like, I have questions, but okay. But you don't usually see the whole Minotaur myth being retold. You'll get, like, here's a Minotaur as, like, a monster or a character, and it's just the Minotaur aesthetic. Sometimes you'll get, like, a beast in a maze. I found a couple instances where time travel shenanigans are involved, and the protagonist of whatever story ends up inadvertently taking the place of Theseus, so they end up in the maze and have to fight the Minotaur. But it's, and I'm not to say that it never happens, but at least in my research, I noticed that it seems super rare for anybody to take the full myth. And what I mean by that is not just a monster in a maze and not just like a Minotaur with the cool, the bull head and the monstrous form, or even when you make him like a cool dude. It's like, no, the Minotaur being put in the maze and people being sacrificed to it and like someone else being like committing these crimes. And what that means. The one example I found that I think does like the retelling really cool is actually an episode of Doctor Who, and one that I've seen.
Yeah.
It's an 11th Doctor story called The God Complex.
Fuck, I love the 11th Doctor.
He's my favorite. Honestly, 11th Doctor is what got me into Doctor Who. I think Matt Smith did a great job. I think all the writing on those seasons is just fun and really inviting.
I feel like I vaguely remember this episode.
Yeah, it is basically, you find the people in this labyrinthine hotel where they're like, we don't know why we were just brought here, and there's a monster that tries to kill us, and they're running around, but everybody has like a room that is theirs, and if you go in, it basically like mentally breaks you. It's like your greatest fear or whatever, and it just like exposes you completely. And the longer people are there, all of a sudden they start to like praise the Minotaur and lose whatever like previous belief system they have and just give themselves entirely to the Minotaur, who basically like sucks the life out of them. They are like torn apart, they are eaten, but like there is this massive Minotaureth alien in this hotel thing. And it's super weird. You know, it's a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. Doctor Who, you know, fucking everything is explained with aliens.
Yeah, it's all aliens. But yeah, so even in this, eventually at the end of the episode, you discover that the hotel is like this hologram. It's a prison, not just for like the people who have been put there, even like the doctor and his companions also accidentally ended up there, but for like this Minotaur creature themselves. Like some society viewed it as a god, so they trapped it in this labyrinth and then gave it tributes.
Yeah.
But he was also like the last of his kind and dying, and it's... like, yeah, a bunch of people died because of the Minotaur, but he's like, he was trapped there. This is how he eats. This was his way of trying to survive this whole thing. He's also just another unwilling participant in the whole ugly affair, which honestly I think is a really cool way to retell the Minotaur myth.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the times Doctor Who does a good job. Like, if they decide to retell a myth, it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah. That is not the first time that Doctor Who has had a Minotaur myth. There was definitely, there was a much earlier episode that I have not seen where the Minotaur does make an appearance, but it seems by the episode description more just like, and here's the Minotaur, and not like retelling of that myth exactly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the God Complex.
Yeah. So this isn't the only example of like fully kind of retelling the Minotaur myth in new ways. There are also other ways where it's like reincorporated and refolded, but I thought it was really interesting that we so rarely see the Minotaur myth being retold beyond the maze or the monster. I would like to spend a little while talking about why do you think that is, DJ? What is it about the Minotaur myth that we are more interested in perhaps the aesthetic than the story?
Because looking at something is a lot more fun than hearing about it.
That's fair.
I mean, like, I like the whole story, honestly. I think the build up there. And I guess, like, with the monster in the labyrinth implies that the whole story had already happened and the monster is just there.
Mm-hmm.
And was put in there already. Or
that's a good point.
Maybe the monster fucking wandered into the labyrinth, but I doubt that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I think that's just the case where people are just like, man, I don't want to hear all this buildup. I just want to see the action.
Yeah, that's could be a good point, yeah. I think, I like what you said about, like, well, once the monster's in the maze, like, everything else has already happened. Like in the story, like, Minos and stuff is happening outside the maze and all that stuff. Yeah. If you're in the maze, you don't really care about what happened. You just care about surviving and getting out.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. DJ, if you had a massive mythical labyrinth, what would you put in there?
Man, I don't even know. I just turn, like, different sections of it into just, like, I turn it into, like, an amusement park. As weird as that sounds, but just imagine, like, oh, man, let's go to the lazy labyrinth when it's, like, not lazy at all. There's, like, fucking, you turn a corner, there's a roller coaster, and then you turn around that same corner, go back the way you came. Entrance is gone, and now it's a house of mirrors, you know?
This sounded fun, but now actually sounds terrifying. So, but what you're saying is you would not put the bestial affair of your wife in the labyrinth.
No, fuck. I'd raise that shit, dude. That shit sounds dope. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, yo. It's gross that you fucked a. It's gross you fucked a bull. Like, let's get that out of the way. But look at this boy. He good.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe if Minos was a better stepdad. Like, here's okay. So we're gonna double back. So I don't want to talk too much about Minos. But also, hey, Minos is a child of Zeus. Do you want to know how Zeus hooked up with his mom?
As a bull.
As a bull.
Yeah.
But Minos's dad raised this little asshole. So. Maybe Minos could have returned the favor, but no.
I know, right?
Maybe that's why the Minotaur, even though he's a bull's head, is a carnivore. Because he's starving.
Yeah, probably.
There might be myths where Pasiphae raised him for a little bit, and then when he got older and became too violent, they threw him in the labyrinth, but...
That sounds... I feel like that, like, if Theseus... like, I don't know... if Theseus even, like, thought about it a little longer, that's probably what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I came from a bull, so, like, let's just go. It'll be fine.
Oh, Minos, not Theseus.
Oh, yeah. Minos was like, yeah, I came from a bull. It'll be fine. Just like when the baby was born, turns to Daedalus. Daedalus, I know it's going to take a while. Build a labyrinth just in case. Make sure that it's constantly changing, all right, so that the thing won't be able to get out. But this is, like, this is a precaution. When I'm not saying that I will use it. I'm just saying I may use it, all right? So just please, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Just do it.
Just do it. I think that that gives an awful lot of credit to the guy who didn't sacrifice the bull to Poseidon like he was supposed to. So if we're talking about dudes got full foresight and empathy, I don't think it's Minos. I think he's just kind of an asshole.
Yeah, probably.
Awesome. That covers everything I had on the Minotaur. Would you like to share any final Minotaur thoughts with the audience?
I'm just excited to talk about the labyrinth.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest thing. Because I just like, as fun as the Minotaur is, yeah, it's cool. And it looks dope. And like just seeing it is fun. But the labyrinth is so fucking cool. The
labyrinth is wild. I'm very excited.
The labyrinth is so fucking cool, man. And I'm just so excited for it.
So yeah, we will get there. We'll get there eventually. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm very excited.
Our next episode is going to be on Dionysus.
Hey!
Hey, that'll be super fun.
All right.
In the meantime, as we mentioned earlier, for our Patreon subscribers, you can join us over at patreon.com/podcastofPoseidon and listen to this fantastic Seder episode that we're about to record. I imagine it's going to be...
I'm very excited about it.
Davis has done a lot of research on pop culture Seders, and we're going to run them through the gambit.
More research than normal.
Yay! I'm so grateful I didn't have to research this episode. If you would like to join us over, listen to these episodes, our patrons, $5 and plus, get access to regular minisode bonus episodes, and our $10 plus patrons get access to the Remyth episodes, in which we fully consume some sort of retelling piece of media and dive into that nonsense, which are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Again, if you'd like to join us there, you can find us at patreon.com/podcastofPoseidon.
All right. You guys have a wonderful day, and we'll catch you all next time.
Until then, don't be like Zeus.
Don't be like Zeus.
Podcast of Poseidon is created, produced, and hosted by Darian and DJ Smart. It's edited by Darian Smart.
Our music is Athens Festival by Martin Hain. Our cover art is by Audrey Miller. Find them on Instagram at bombshellnutshell.
Come hang out with us on Instagram and Twitter at Podcast of Poseidon. Find all of our episodes and episode transcripts at podcastofposeidon.com.
Thanks for listening.